We're ESPN 680 and 105.7. Time now for an ESPN Louisville Sports Center update.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. The Sports Center update brought to you by Witch Witch. Mention ESPN for a $6.80 large witch any day of the week. Witch Witch Superior Sandwiches. Make sure you're listening, people. We're probably going to be eating those on the air a little later. UK Hoops, they take down Missouri last night in Columbia, 66-58. Cats, however, had to deal with an injury. Reed Travis going down with a bum knee. Cats outscored 35-25 in the second half. Cal postgame saying he takes partial responsibility for the Tigers' comeback as he was just trying to survive without Reed.
Part of it was that I kind of took the air out of the ball a little bit. I just trying to get out of here, guys. As soon as Reed got hurt, I was like, we're not extending this game. And so we went down to the shot clock on three or four times, and that's on me. So when the game got ugly, it was because I was telling them, look, we're getting out of here.
Cats led by P.J. Washington and Tyler Hero, each with 20 points. UK back in action Saturday, 1:30 when they host Auburn. U of L hoops, they hit the floor tonight in Syracuse, taking on the Orange, 7 p.m. That can be seen on ESPN. Louisville struggling as of late with inbounding the ball. Chris Mack, during his presser yesterday, heard right here on ESPN Louisville addressing those problems.
We have to get better at, you know, end game, being stronger with the ball and making better decisions. But, you know, they're always trying to fix something. It's just very, very out there when it's as glaring as what it's been the last few games. But we're going to find ourselves in positions the way we're playing to close games. We've got to do it the right way.
Marcus Maven, Steve Rummage have the pregame at 6. That's on all ESPN stations. Mark Blankenbaker has the Coors Light postgame show immediately following the game on 93.9 The Ville. You in a bad mood, folks? Don't worry. Intern Crean's on the other side. He'll brighten your spirits. This is SportsCenter.
Download the new ESPN Louisville app. Search ESPN Louisville for streaming, podcasts, and the latest program schedule.
Welcome back to the V Show. Mark Blankenbaker, Dave Skull, Nikki Valvano. Man, it's been a really cool first hour and a half of the show. Thanks for listening to us. Bobby V will be back as soon as he's feeling up to it, man. He's kind of been under the weather for a little while, and we appreciate him not bringing that to the office. So,
thanks for doing us a solid, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Here, babe.
I know he's missing working tonight, because tonight's a great night for basketball. Louisville, Syracuse at the Carrier Dome. We've also got Duke Carolina at 9 o'clock tonight. We're going to have that on the ESPN 680. Before the Louisville game, Marcus Maben, Steve Rummage on 93.9 The Ville. I have your ESPN Louisville pregame show after the game, after Louisville Syracuse game. I'll be on the Coors Light postgame show immediately following. We'll be taking your calls. We'll be taking your tests. We'll be discussing the game immediately on the Coors Light postgame show. Both of those things be on 93.9 The Ville. We teased it earlier, and we've got intern Crean in here, Indiana fan extreme. Intern Crean, welcome into the V-Show, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate the time. I think last night will forever be remembered as the night that Indiana basketball became just like Indiana football.
You really think it's that bad, intern Crean?
They've lost 11 out of 12 games. Of course it's that bad. You're sitting with a top 10, at worst case scenario, lottery pick, and all Big Ten forward, and you've won one game since January 4th.
Is it
How
really,
can it get much worse than that?
Is it really that the rest of the team is just not performing at all? Or what is actually happening there? You're there in Ground Zero in Bloomington. What exactly is happening? Why is Archie Miller just totally melting down, along with his brother Sean, by the way?
Yeah, it's really a myriad of things. It's been rumored that there's a disconnect between the team and the coaching staff, which is never a good thing. There was the Minnesota effort where really everything just went haywire and out of control on Saturday. And really, there just hasn't been any player development under Archie Miller. Other than Juwan Morgan, you look at the roster that they've had guys like Al Durham, Deron Davis, Devontae Green, Justin Smith, who have been there for almost two full years now, and none of them have gotten any better under Archie Miller. And that's that's really the most concerning thing for me, because you can say, oh, it's not his guys, all this stuff, all you want, but you see Chris Mack's a perfect example of it. You can take a team of a bunch of misfits, and if you're really that good of a coach, then you can make the team good, yet as Chris Mack's done in Louisville, and Archie Miller, who has a lot more talent this year than Chris Mack does in his first year with Louisville. And even looking back last year, he had a team that had some good players on it, but it just doesn't seem to mesh for whatever reason between him and the team.
Crean, first of all, thank you so much for my new intro. I'm so happy with it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It's the only thing I wanted. Drew's been kicking around the idea of getting, you know, the boys from Kansas City to record the intro for me, the lead, and I was like, Drew, that doesn't sound like it suits me. You know, like, I appreciate it, but let me get the voice of an angel, intern Crean, to record my intro, and I'll never ask you for anything again. But how sad are you as an Indiana fan that you hired Archie Miller instead of Chris Mack? Hit me with it.
I mean, hindsight's obviously 2020. Yeah, hindsight 2020, but it is.
Of course it is, but this is sports talk radio. Yeah, hit me with it.
Yeah, it's absolutely dumbfounding to me that it's not that even that they hired Archie over Chris Mack. They didn't even really look at Chris Mack.
Right.
Like he wasn't a name that was thrown around at all. I mean, if you remember, it was Billy Donovan's wife is in Bloomington checking out houses. People thought they could somehow get Brad Stevens. They wanted Sean Miller. But, I mean, like, it was really kind of Archie Miller, Greg Marshall was mentioned. Chris Mack was never really even in the running. And that's really crazy to think about now with the job he's done in Louisville in just a short amount of time. And at least for my sake, he's at Louisville, so I can still enjoy a Chris Mack coach team. But it's definitely just a big miss on Fred Glass's part. And you're looking at a guy in Fred Glass who has done basically everything right. He's made great hires with the non-revenue sports. He's built new facilities for the non-revenue sports. He's renovated Assembly Hall. But he kind of blew the football hire with Tom Allen a couple years ago, and which, if you get the basketball hire right at IU, no one really cares about the football. Sorry, people who may actually care. They're not many of them, but if you get basketball right, it doesn't matter. And missing on Archie Miller, which I think he has missed on Archie Miller. I'm kind of done with the whole project by this point. Like, it's tough for him with the way the Indiana fan base is to kind of be able to stay in good graces with the fan base because of that.
I got to tell you, intern Crean, if you were to ask me to bet on whether or not Archie Miller would have been a boom or a bust for IU, I would have said it would have been a great hire.
Same here. I thought it was going to be a good hire.
There's no way. I think
it was
that
due.
People could have foreseen what is happening there. And I know he's got a $22 million buyout this year. I'm thinking he's going to have another shot. I mean, I can't imagine IU buying out a $22 million contract. But I guess my question is, and you can respond to that too, is who in the hell designed Assembly Hall?
Well, actually,
the important question.
The way they designed it is, it's kind of hard to tell now because they've renovated the football stadium a couple of times, but they designed it to look exactly like the football stadium, to where it's shaped like an egg.
And I know, but they're different sports.
Yes. The thing is, when they designed the football stadium, that works for football. And some moron in the 1960s decided, oh, we're going to try the same thing for a basketball arena. And instead, if you sit in the balcony, I contend that it's not nearly as bad as the Yum Center balcony, the second upper-level deck of the Yum Center. That's how bad that is. But you sit in the Assembly Hall balcony, and you look like you're watching a circus, and they have, like, the tight ropes people that are walking on the rope like 80 feet in the air. You're like, you're online with that more than you are watching a basketball game. So it's a very weird place to watch a basketball game because of it. If you're in like the first 40 rows of the main level, you can see the court, which is good. But if you're in like the top 5-6 rows of the main level, the balcony actually cuts your view off of the court. So
is tightropes people a scientific term?
Tightropes people.
I think they're called acrobats. I don't know.
Yep.
Would Rick Pitino buy out Archie Miller's contract to coach at Indiana?
I would absolutely 100,000% be in the Hall of Fame, coaching Indiana basketball. But
I would love to do it just to see Dan Dockich eat some words.
But it's never going to happen because Fred Glass was brought in after the Sampson ordeal, which, of course, looks like nothing compared to some of the other scandals that have gone on since then. But his basically number one mission was, we're going to play by the rules, be good, moral, all this stuff. And he's held up to that, which, the way college athletics works, it could be argued that's kind of a dumb way to run things, because I'm in the boat where everyone cheats, and it's just a whether or not you get caught. But Fred Glass would never hire Rick Pitino because of kind of his stance on how he wants to run things.
All right, intern, can you got a class or something you got to run off to?
Yeah. Yep. Sports and media.
Oh.
Would you look at that?
I mean, you could just come here and take this class. And
yeah, do you not get extra credit for calling in, being a guest on a ESPN affiliate in Louisville?
We can sign a paper for you or something like that. Yeah. He just finished a paper, by the way. He texted me thinking that I was his mom. excited that he was coming on the air. So,
all right, intern Kareem, we'll see you soon. Good luck in class, and we'll see you at the pool this summer.
Thanks, Jack.
All right, buddy. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Take care. Yeah,
it's funny. Like,
I love him so much.
I love him too. But he says Fred Glass has done such a great job and done all these great things and all the
non-revenue sports. Seems like, yeah,
and that's awesome.
Like the concourses there are really nice.
Everybody knows. Like he kind of buried the lead because he's like, but he whiffed on the football hire and now he maybe whiffed on the basketball hire. It's like, dude, at
Those are the two biggest sports.
And at Indiana, if you whiff on the basketball hire, then you're not a good, in the eyes of the fan base and more importantly the alumni and the boosters, you're not doing a good job.
And they just lost Chris Lemonis, you know, like you lost your baseball
coach
too. I mean,
Rudy John Ellis III, Esquire,
yes,
tweeting in the Fan Outfitters Twitter feed. Fred Glass became AD when I was a freshman at IU in 08-09. He's done nothing but miss on coaching hire since he got there. Also reminding us that IU shot 27% from the
there
field yesterday.
Well, like that would be the vocal. That would be the other.
It's got to be frustrating to be an IU basketball fan because you had Tom Crean, okay, and you had great offense and you had good players. You recruited well, but you couldn't defend, Grandma.
Brother,
he couldn't defend us. We could probably drop a.
Like it was ridiculous.
Creany Tom had to go.
I know.
Creany Tom.
I understand that he had to go. It was just one of those things. It's like, why isn't this working? You know,
was he a good fit for the fan base too? And this isn't a shot at Crean. I mean, son mouth kisses aside, I always thought he was an okay dude, but he was kind of.
Did you ever kiss your dad on the mouth after a basketball game?
I'm Italian. We kiss all the time. We never kiss on the mouth.
Okay,
but not our parents. Whatever. yeah. Anyway. Wow. That got weird. Say it like.
What were you saying, Nick?
Just take a breather there, Nick.
Yeah. Sorry, Inter Creed just texted me also. He said, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
He's a sweet kid.
When he becomes big and like famous, I wonder if he's gonna still be humble.
Thanks a lot for having me on,
guys. I wonder if he'll remember his roots.
I don't remember the last time I saw him not smiling.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's kind of his baseline is just cherubic.
You're talking about kissing your dad.
Yeah, thanks. God, dude.
Hey, Nicky, you brought it up. I was talking about... You
like,
shoveled that manure right in front of yourself and then stepped in it.
I didn't just step in it. I did a header into it. No, we're talking about coaching fits and everything like that and how that's like kind of a, rabid fan base with a bit of history there. And you kind of have to have a personality to fit that. It's why, he kind of reminds me, he's got that high-strung personality a little bit. Sort of like Greg Marshall, which is what a lot of people said would be like, hey, he's a great coach, but that personality might not bode well when he was getting mentioned.
His wife might fight people in the stands.
Right, yeah. I mean, right now we have Chris Mack and Christy Mack, happy, tweets and everything like that. If we had Greg Marshall's wife here, she would be taking chairs to people, which could be entertaining.
Christy Mack might hurt somebody. She was pulling people up out of their seats.
She's
in
intense.
Clemson.
No, she's
like
intense.
Jerking dudes up. She's like, you're gonna cheer right now.
I can't see her killing anyone though.
I know. Like, she's been working out at Planet Fitness, dude. You see her? She's jacked. She's jerking grown men out of their seats. Like it is.
Yeah. No, she's definitely strong. Absolutely. No, I can't see her putting someone in the ground. Like, Greg Marshall's wife, with all due respect, like, I'm scared of her. Like, I'm you know, I respect the strength of Christy Mack.
There's not a chance I don't in hell fear. That she's not
going to threaten the life
right.
of somebody.
I don't fear Christy Mack. Yeah. I respect her. Greg Marshall's wife, I fear.
The
that
Marshalls
is pants pooping
to be a little bit more crazy
terror.
Than the Macks. The Macks seem like the appropriate level of crazy.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
You
got
to be a little nuts, but you don't have to be terrifying.
Yes, I agree with that.
Is there between being like an incredibly passionate supporter of everything your husband does and then being the story?
But the Cranes were more just weird.
No, the Cranes are weird.
The Cranes were just like intense, but in a weird way.
He married into the Harbaugh family. It's a weird situation. Everything about it's weird.
Don't you think most of his facial expressions were weird because he was like adjusting his glasses without touching them with his hands? Like he was like doing it with his nose.
I wonder if he could do that thing where, you know how there's like that challenge you have to like get a cookie in your mouth, but balance it on your nose, but you can't like, you're laying down, but you can't like use your hands. I bet he was dope at that.
He probably was.
It's funny, like when Crean mentioned it, I thought it was weird at the time. And this is not a hindsight thing. Like,
just hit my thigh back here with the mic on. Sorry.
I've already said that I thought Archie Miller was going to be a good hire.
I thought so, too.
But I did find it odd at the time that they didn't seem to entertain the Chris Mack, you know, possibility.
I really thought Steve Alford was the other one that they kind of floated.
I think that was more
the prodigal
of a,
son coming home.
That was on the
like
Alford
that.
Side, though.
Yeah, I think it that was more from okay. the Alford yeah. camp.
Alford tried to get a job here.
Alford's always trying to get a job. Anywhere, and now he really wants a job anywhere because he
point.
Doesn't have one.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that's always floating his name.
Yeah, no, so yeah, he's one. I don't know where he will end up landing. Archie Miller, I would have bet money on. You know, I would have said he's going to be a good coach at IU. I thought he sort of, you know, balanced the ship last year, got Romeo, and then he was going to propel forward into a really solid year here this for Indiana. It hasn't happened. It started out well, though. Like, that was the other thing is, like, early in the year, if you go November to December, you're like, okay. You know, you can see this Archie thing. And
that's what I was saying. When we played them, I thought, at the time, I said, they aren't that great of a team. I think that we're actually a better team than them, but I think that they'll make the tournament and be like a 7 or 8 seed.
And Archie and Coach Mack, the interesting thing about them is that when they were in the A-10 together playing those Xavier Dayton matches, they were always like 3-5 point games. Like they were always just nip and tuck until the end. And I, you know, if you're saying, okay, I like Archie Miller, I like Chris Mack, okay, one of those is going to be great. You know, that's exactly what I would have said. And I would have been wrong if you really judge them on how things are going this year.
And I realize it's only year two, but honestly, when you hear stuff like he's lost the team, there's a disconnect between the coaches and the players.
It looks like it, though.
I said this, and I didn't realize how accurate I would be, because around January, you know, Indiana started really looking bad, and the bookmakers hadn't caught up yet. And it reminded me a lot of the Louisville team, the football team from this year, where the bookmakers could not – as good as they are, they couldn't quite convince themselves that they needed to put a 35-point spread down. They just couldn't do it, you know, between an average ACC team and Louisville. And it felt the same way with Indiana, where I'm looking at spreads going, these don't make any sense. Indiana's playing horrible. And they're not dissimilar. The similarities have grown to where, like, it's not the same disaster that Louisville football was this year.
Oh, no.
But the talent level that is perceived to be there, and the results that are on the field are very similar to me.
They are, but like again,
and
if you go back to last night,
it's something that's unexplainable. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just to the naked eye.
But if you go back to last night, if you lose by 2 to Purdue in a vacuum, who cares? Like, it's fine. It's no big deal. I guess that's not the point. It's the 11 of 12.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, you got to win something, but they're also competitive though. Like, in some of these games, like they got blown out against Minnesota, right? Like, so that's there. If you want to go to the point of the Indiana or the Minnesota game, yes, he's lost the team in that particular game. But against Ohio State, they lost by 3. They're playing number 20 Iowa. They lose by 5. You know, that's respectable. You know, you cannot lose to Rutgers. You just can't. You just can't.
I mean, it's not respectable when rolled into the rest of their results, though.
Exactly. But in a single game, losing by 2 to Purdue is not a big deal. But it is now that you've lost 11 out of 12 games. And I don't know, you know, how can you continue to get that level of performance to be able to play close to ranked teams at times, and even though you're losing, how can you continue to get that out of your team and eventually turn one of those games?
How did they beat Michigan State?
Didn't they? They were without Langford. I think it was like their first game without Langford. And I think one of their big guys was also out of that game. I'm not remembering. I feel like they had a couple of players.
They did have two starters out.
They had two starters out.
Was Nick Ward out that night or no?
It might have been Ward. I would have to go back and look at that. And
I thought that was before the Ward injury.
Okay. But it could have been.
I could be 1,000% wrong.
I do know that there was some sort of injury situation happening at Michigan State, and there was that period of time where Michigan State was just not playing very good basketball.
Yeah, they lost to Indiana and Illinois like back-to-back or – something like that.
Right. All right. Let's take another break. On the other side, we'll start to talk about Louisville.
I say we'll get into this Louisville Syracuse game.
We have to. And I got to tell my Bobby V story, too, about a Carrier Dome, Louisville, Michigan State, NC State. I forget exactly which game it was, but I got to tell this story.
Before we go to break, I was gently reminded by text message that my mom drives a red Prius in Louisville with a Louisville flag, and her car has been keyed on several occasions.
Several occasions?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
More than once?
That's what I was told. I do. And
you're messing with Mrs. Biscuit.
Jesus,
we got problems,
Mama Biscuit.
Mama she Biscuit, we are gonna find
she
you.
She is the sweetest woman in the city of Louisville, and possibly unsubstantiated, but possibly on planet Earth. And if you're messing with her ride, you're messing with the wrong people. And I got like a whole group of dudes that are gonna come for you because all my friends love Mama.
If you're
Biscuit.
Listening, yeah. You should know that you do not know who I am, but I will find you. And I will key your car back.
there was like a few instances. This has happened to me.
Liam Neeson in studio with us.
The Neesons, though. And it's happened to my dad, too, where somebody's like literally somebody you've never met before.
That's always what it is.
Ever.
Yeah.
Walks up to you and you're wearing like a Louisville shirt with a cardinal bird on it and goes, "Hey, man, you got a little blank on your shirt." Like a little.
Oh, yeah.
What's that on your shirt?
Hey, hey.
You got a little,
ooh, this
got
guy.
A little, you know.
Writes his own material. This guy. Yeah. Hey.
You're like,
they're cut from a special place.
It's like, where do you get off? Like, honestly.
Well, your dad's super interesting. We were talking about this before the show. A West Point graduate.
Not Westport.
Okay. Well, a little bit above Westport. No offense to the Westport, but West Point graduate out there. Floor mates with Coach K.
I think they were classmates.
Same dorm.
They were classmates. I think they lived on the same floor. I think he was at the end of the hall, but that's. They were classmates.
And Coach Parcells was his position coach?
Yes.
And what was the other thing that was going
Bobby
on?
Bobby Knight was the head basketball
and Bobby
coach.
Knight was the head. Yeah. All while Mr. Biscuit, Papa Biscuit, was there.
Colonel Skull.
Colonel Skull.
Well, he gets his own moniker.
Yeah, he does get it. Yeah, he's earned that. yeah, the Colonel.
No,
I mean,
man, he's lived a pretty fascinating life.
That's
yeah,
super
so he played,
cool.
He played football at Army, and he was a starter senior year. He says because of injury, he's a very humble guy.
I love your mom and dad. They are
great
Twin
people.
Spires advocates. You sit down with them, and you start immediately handicapping a race.
My
it's
dad,
amazing.
You mess with the biscuits, you're going to get the gravy.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. You can take that any way you want, random jackass.
He went and he coached at Army in the late 70s, in the mid to late 70s, and then the last place, because this is why I'm such a big fan of Army football, regardless. Even though I'm a huge Louisville fan, like there will always be a special place in my heart for Army football. We lived at West Point as the deputy athletic director there for 5 years before he retired. We went undefeated against Navy for those 5 years.
There we go.
By a combined 11 or 12 points. I can't remember.
I do encourage people.
Games.
I've been to a game.
It was like it was 11.
I've been to a game at West Point. My dad and I went there when Louisville played up there in 2002. And we pull up. It's a beautiful drive.
It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievably pretty. And so you
and it's
pull
a,
in.
It's like a living in a history book, too.
It really is. And so we pulled up to, like, the guard shack or whatever it is when you're about to go on to.
Yeah.
And the guy, he's got, like, this M16. He's got grenades and stuff. And he's, like, super serious. He goes, "What's your business?" And I'm like, "The Louisville Army football game," and he goes, "Go Army." And I'm like, "Okay, great." Like, that's unbelievable. But my dad and I just start laughing. We're driving in. Gorgeous. You go park down down by the river, by the Hudson River. You walk up. The campus is phenomenal. I encourage you, if you like college football, that's one that you've got to make a trip
to. It's a bucket list for anybody, and I was really fortunate enough to go to every home game for 5 years.
I had no idea, Dave. Like, sincerely, I had no idea it was that awesome.
Oh, yeah. And, heard
it's beautiful.
We because it's the Army, so we literally moved twice while we lived at West Point. We lived at three different houses. But the last one, we lived there for 3 years down on Thayer Road, which is overlooks the Hudson River. You know, so our house overlooked the Hudson River, and we were within a mile. It was a mile walk to the stadium or less. So we tailgated in the neighborhood and then walked up to the stadium, you know, and it was pretty awesome. Like, there's nothing like that. And it was so different. Like, we'd go out at halftime and play a football game on Army's practice field against out-of-town kids. You know, it's just a different thing. It's less corporate, you know. But back then, it's probably – now they've got more developed facilities, and, like, it may not be the same right outside the stadium. But we used to just, like, play a game against out-of-town kids and then go back in for the second half.
Well, I love, like, the roof. It's like – go, it's like go Army beat Navy.
That's on the field house.
It's on the field house roof.
On
pretty cool.
Gillis Field House down next to the river.
And then they all march in. It's super cool. And There's a lake right there by the football stadium.
Lusk Reservoir.
Really, really pretty.
Yeah. Lusk Reservoir. They've got the cannons on the other side that they fire after every touchdown. And then Fort Putnam, which is a Revolutionary War era fort, overlooks the stadium.
Okay. I did not notice that part.
Oh, it's amazing. And I'm telling you, man, like, playing there as kids, like, we didn't spend time inside. We were outside all the time, and we could be running around the woods, and you'd trip over some just, like, little ramparts that have been there for 200 years.
It's a different environment. It's a totally different environment than you can't even recreate it. If you wanted to, you couldn't.
If you are a college football fan, even if you're not, a game at Mikey Stadium should be on your bucket list, period.
It's incredible.
Nothing.
I really can't recommend it enough. So, anyway, we'll take
a break.
Now
they're good at football. So yeah, it's now even they're good at football.
Get some entertaining the football now.
As long as Coach Monken's there.
On the other side, Mark Blankenbaker, Dave Skull, and Brian Hall now behind the booth for at least a little bit. Hey, Brian.
What's up, guys?
How's it going, buddy?
Hey, Brian.
Well, it was an emergency for Nick. Not a bad emergency, but emergency.
Okay. A potty emergency.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
I recognized that run.
You're listening to The V Show on ESPN 680.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
All right, welcome back to the V Show. I love that.
It's amazing. It's everything I wanted it to be.
That's all that we wanted. That's all we ever wanted. It's perfect. Well, anyway, we're back here on the V Show. Mark Blankenbaker, Dave Skull. We got Nikki Valvano back. Brian Hall briefly. And I hope everything came out okay out there, Nikki.
I feel like I need to stand trial because that was a war crime.
I'm really not sure how to recover on something like that, to be honest.
Indict that man's bowels.
Golly, you guys.
I feel so bad. Like, I
feel completely out of control of this show as the host. I got to let you know.
Fair enough.
Completely out of control.
Well, this is gross, but I feel like it's a good setup for the story you were going to tell about Pops.
Yeah, you're right. So 2015, this is 4 years ago now. It's March. We're in the Sweet 16 game.
Before you tell the story.
Let me check the math. Yeah, it's 4 years.
Yeah.
Before you tell the story. Sorry, I was too busy.
Damn you, Biscuit.
I think I'm dehydrated.
Go get yourself a water.
I might have lost an organ there.
We don't need you right now.
We're fine.
No. All right, let's pause for ID, and then you tell the story. All right, here we go. As you were, gentlemen. Thank you.
There we go. So it's 2015, 4 years prior, and it's March, and we're about to play NC State in the Sweet 16 game. Anton Gill eventually was going to go off or whatever, but it was pregame, and I don't remember exactly how this happened, but they had some drunk fans in the Carrier Dome, and of course you can't drink at NCAA tournament events. They don't sell alcohol, but this fan was already going anyway because the bars are very close to the Carrier Dome that are there on campus that all the students go and attend. Well, there's this catwalk that goes from the main seating from the actual dome to the bleacher style seating that they have that's sort of temporary for basketball only, that basically goes over the football field. Well, this catwalk is just a, it's just a connector piece between those things, and they have this area where media are supposed to walk through, and you've got to walk through and underneath this the bleacher style seating and this catwalk in order to get into the courtside seating and everything like that, which is where we were all sitting. Well, I was 20 feet behind Bob Valvano, and I see a person who's about to get ill from this catwalk and is going to let it loose over the walkway.
Oh, jeez.
And it happened in slow motion, but I was also in slow motion. And there was, like, nothing that I could do to save Bob Valvano while this person just yacked all over him.
Man.
Right before the game. And so he's supposed to go and do a – I don't even know what happened. Did he end up getting a change of clothes?
I don't remember.
Sit next to Paul Rogers for that whole game? He was able to clean up a little bit.
I thought it was after the game. Was it before.
It was before.
You know what? If it was after, I think he just was like, well,
you know what? It
get rid
been
of this suit.
It could have been at halftime.
Well, maybe it was that.
It could have been at halftime. But the timing of it was there was still game left.
Okay. So he had to go.
If it was pregame or if it was halftime, but he was going to go do the part, or at least all of the broadcast with Paul Rogers, and I'll never forget it because it's like there's nothing you can do for the guy. Like, you know what I mean?
It just happens in slow motion. Just like
it's
no.
Just like I'm not taking that bullet. You know, like I'm not like.
I like you, Bob, but I don't like you that much.
I was gonna say, like,
I'm not taking that bullet.
One of us is going to have to be, spend the rest of this game covered in puke. It's not going to be me.
And then it's also, I'm not cleaning you up. Like, I'll get you some napkins.
Maybe a moist nap or
like,
two.
I'll get you some water.
I got some Purell.
Exactly. But it was just one of those moments where you're like, I've seen a lot of stuff in my day. I've never seen anything like that.
I think that's the first... I was going to say, that might have been the first time he got yacked on at a game. I think it was the last
second time.
Just Bob ends up taking off his sport coat and shirt, and he just has like an undershirt on.
Just has a tie on.
Undershirt during the game.
Well, Paul, this half's going to get sexy. I'm just saying, you know. No, I think if I remember the story correctly.
This half is PG-13.
I think he got
parents
a sweatshirt.
Strongly cautioned.
Luckily, it was a radio call, not like a, can you imagine like TV? Like,
well, they probably, if you do TV, do they have like wardrobe changes there?
I with all the TV games I've done, I'm not sure.
But your dad has done 1,000. I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to be a smartass. I'm sorry.
I'm not
kind of punchy back here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not an infantry officer, but every once in a while there's a question about the military that I can answer because my dad was in there.
That's
a
good point.
What I'm saying? Sometimes you glean knowledge from your parents.
I don't think they have like backup outfits there, but I imagine. I mean, they could probably find something. Like,
no,
he brings his own stuff.
But for the NCAA tournament, he's going to have other stuff to wear, like for another game. You know, because he's doing multiple days, multiple games.
Where's Bob when you need him? He's got the answers to all these questions.
But for the NCAA tournament, like I think
he wears his lucky suit and it's musky. Poor Rosinski.
I don't know if anybody's noticed. I've worn the exact same shirt and tie and suit like, combination for every game I've called.
I look like
since 1993.
I have the same outfit.
What if Bob's like, no, I have a postseason suit. I wear it for every game. And as long as they're winning,
like I haven't washed it,
and
in
I'm
two
not,
decades.
And I will not wash it. So then, you know, Louisville gets, you know, so in the Elite Eight game, he's still wearing like the vomit stain. No, he wasn't.
I think he had. I think he had lucky socks a couple times.
I do that.
I think so.
I definitely do that. There has to be some sort of thing that if you're on a roll, you're always just wearing, and you have to designate it early.
I had a T-shirt from the rain game in 2001 when Louisville and Kentucky football went to overtime. Yeah, Curry Burns blocked the field goal.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a pair of red socks that I will not wear. I actually threw them away because every time I wore them, Louisville would lose.
But see, I wore that one even though it was like an XL and it fit me back then.
Mm.
I would wear it underneath my outfit for like every Governor's Cup I could and every U of L UK basketball game until eventually it was like, bro, you can't wear that anymore.
It just did finally just wore out.
The shirt just was stretched out. I just I don't know. It wasn't healthy anymore.
It wasn't healthy anymore.
It was crying for help every time I'd slip it on.
Did you? I think these jeans I'm wearing, by the way,
looked like a halter top. Biscuit's wearing a halter top.
Talk about getting sexy up there.
Well, we do have a game in the Carrier Dome tonight, and I'm hoping nobody gets puked on up there.
Hopefully.
During the game. They sold a bat blue there for regular season football and basketball games, which is super Canadian.
Syracuse practically Canadia. Canadia.
Canadia.
It's well, practically Canadia.
When you go there, it's hilarious. They keep going, oh, you've got to go to Dinosaur Barbecue.
Yeah, I heard that discussion this morning.
And you do, but he, Diener was told.
Barbecue dinosaurs?
Yep, that's why they're extinct, because Syracuse, New York.
They went really good with sriracha.
Brontosaurus ribs. I've seen the Flintstones documentary.
That's.
I know.
Freddie Flintstone never ate all that meat.
Well, I don't know, man.
It looks like he's as tall as him.
He could house some pork, I bet. No.
Yeah, I guess you could if you're a cartoon. But, you know,
it's a documentary.
It's a documentary.
It's very real.
Flintstones are a documentary. No, but Dinosaur Barbecue is this place, and, you know, everywhere you go, oh, yeah, you know, where should I eat? Where, you know, where? You know, oh, Dinosaur Barbecue, you got to try it. It's like the best thing in Syracuse. Okay. We go there. It's real ordinary.
That's because all barbecue above the Mason-Dixon line is ordinary.
Well, I was thinking we were going to about to have something special, and I guess for them.
That's the take right there.
It's true. Yeah. It's true, man. Like, you don't get good barbecue above the Mason-Dixon line. The most northern barbecue hot spot there is Kansas City. You get above that, and you're struggling.
Yeah. No, but I went there. It was all right. It was totally packed. And I'm thinking, if this is the best food they have in Syracuse, like, are all taste buds dead up here? Like, is the cold
just
weather
frostbitten?
Yes.
Just frostbitten.
The short answer to your question is yes.
Does everybody have to do, like, the stick your tongue on the pulse challenge and then they can't taste anything for the rest of your life?
It's a right
of
passage.
You do it when you're three and then you don't taste food for the rest of your life and everybody just has gruel and oatmeal.
They don't let you into high school until you lick a pole.
It's unbelievable. But no, so U of L's.
All right, you're gonna have to mark everything from this and make sure that Coop gets
I think
it
I'm gonna
time.
Just delete.
Just give him the whole
recording
episode.
Is broken. I don't know.
Yeah, if Cooper's listening, you're
from roughly 1:30 on. Just give him all the audio.
The whole show. Valvano has made the show. He's kissed his dad. I'm not even gonna repeat anything else.
No. I'm gonna blame it on my bowels.
Hey, we've been blessed by the presence of Mama Dawn over there.
Hi, Dawn.
Mama Dawn.
Sales extraordinaire, yeah. Dawn. Do you want to say anything?
Station Mother Dawn.
Well, we do have a game tonight, boys, and it is against Syracuse, the vaunted 2-3 zone of Jim Boeheim. Ty's Battle is their superstar. They've got several different things, you know, going for them. I find it really interesting how often they score off turnovers, and they get into their break out of that 2-3 zone. What I find really interesting is that given – how many of their points are off of those turnovers, that they are an awful shooting team. They shoot 42.5% from the field. They really just don't shoot the ball well. They're not a good three-point shooting team. They're okay inside. They have a lot of length. They're an awful free-throw shooting team, and they are very good at getting fouled, though. So, like, if you are going to analyze them, fouls against them aren't great, but they are also not terrible. Because they may not, but they also, they don't rebound. And I found that really interesting. They're an awful rebounding team. So this is a game where Syracuse has few advantages over Louisville, but how does Louisville handle their 2-3 zone? So, like, and that's really the question. What does Louisville do? Who's the guy that's getting the ball right at the foul line? Is it CC again?
Which we saw a preview of that. Against Duke, when Duke went to the 2-3 zone late. I understand why it was CC. He's obviously our best passer, and he sees the court better than anybody else, and that's not disputable. The question is that the best option going forward? I mean, he's 6'1", so he's listed at 6'2". He's probably 6'1", 6'2".
I don't even know if he's – yeah.
I mean, most people say 6 foot, but, you know, he's around – he's a shorter guard.
Oh, interesting.
What just happened, Nick?
Just keep talking. It's all fine back there, boys. It's all fine.
He's trying to edit out all of this stuff. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean?
We're good.
Did I just get corrected by myself? No, like, you would prefer to have somebody in that spot that can see over the zone and can see the court a little better, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had Kyle Kirk, who was about 6'5", who played that role when Pitino was here. But I think
who can you trust there?
Honestly, because your instinct is Dwayne Sutton, right? That's your instinct.
My first reaction,
but he and that's what Perrin and I's first reaction was. But he has been turning the ball over a lot lately, and you don't know like if he's the most ideal person for that. So maybe they come out and try Dwayne Sutton, you know, at the top of the key there in the high post. See if he obviously has the ability to hit that mid-range jumper,
right?
Which really helps the whole thing go, kind of makes the whole thing work. If that guy who gets the ball at the free throw line is a threat to hit that jumper, it opens up the low post, the defender starts to sag, you know, towards the free throw line, and the wings are open. And that's how you operate. That's what you want. Right. So if we can get somebody in that free throw line that can hit a few early jumpers, it opens up that low post and everything. It unlocks that. It's the key to unlocking that entire zone.
You've also got to have somebody who, once they receive the ball there at the top of the foul line, to occasionally be able to take it to the rim when it's open.
Yeah.
And because it does open.
And Dwayne checks that box.
And he does check that box. And so Jordan Wara checks that box too. Like, if he's there and it's there, he has the ability around the rim to do some things. I'm just curious to see how we operate. And I wonder if we'll do it in a different way, or if we'll stick to one different attack over and over and over again tonight. Because, like, this is the game for me. Like, I'm not worried about Louisville defending Tyus Battle and the rest of that offense. Like, he's going to get his. And he really, like last year, put Syracuse on his back, got to the free throw line a ton.
Which he can do. He's not a great shooter, per se, but he can do that.
But our defense has been playing really good basketball lately. If we can keep a guy, if we can keep Battle specifically in front of us and out of the paint, then Louisville will be okay. But if they don't, they're going to need to score on that other side quite a bit. So will they? And I also find it really interesting that given how often, and Syracuse never comes out of the zone, how well they defend the three-point line. And typically what you see is a team that plays zone, that they defend the two-point shot incredibly well. They do. But that you don't see zone teams really defend the three that well, because oftentimes that's where what's open. But they do.
Shoot over the zone.
And so the Syracuse is a very good three-point defensive team. So for me, I'm not worried about necessarily stopping Syracuse enough. My question is, do we answer enough for what we give up on? Because they're going to score. Tyus is a good ball player. How do we handle the zone tonight? If we handle it well and we're shooting the ball well, it's over. Syracuse will not be able to win this game. If they stop us offensively, Louisville basketball will lose.
Well, our half-court offensive efficiency has been great all year, by the numbers and in per. I mean, you can tell if you watch this team; it's been a huge difference from last season. Obviously, we haven't played a lot against the 2-3 zone, and when they changed midstream against us, when Duke did that, it obviously threw us for a loop. But I think that we just had so many different things going on at one time. Like, yeah, we had the first part of breaking the zone down, where you get the ball to CeCe at the free throw line, but then it was like nobody wanted to shoot, including CeCe, so you couldn't finish the job. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't doing the rest of the job of breaking that zone. So it's not really fair to look at that situation. If you haven't a full 4 days to prepare for this team, playing against the zone in practice every day, I'm sure you will have, you know, a
little bit better understanding
approach. You know, yeah. a more comprehensive approach to beating the zone.
Chris Mack and this team has done a really well when they've prepared for what they've seen on tape. You saw what they did against Duke. You've seen them in games, especially early against Indiana, how they came out in those games. Really, the only two times where they just did not perform, this year in games was the game against Kentucky and the second game against North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Those are the only two games where they just kind of came out and laid an egg. North Carolina had seen Louisville before, and they made adjustments. And Kentucky, Ashton Hagans dominated that game defensively. You know, so, you know, Syracuse doesn't have that type of on the ball defender like Duke and Kentucky and Carolina do. Tyus Battle is a very good player, and Frank Howard is a very good player too, but they're not that level.
No.
So, they are bigger than CC and Kwan, so they're going to give them some, you know, height advantage fits, but how does Louisville sort of attack them and things like that? So I'm interested to see how Louisville attacks them today. And real quickly, I'll let you get to a point. We'll want to read this because you and I both crushed a Witch earlier.
And I had one. It was delicious. I had one of the cookies, which I had. It's
Courtney's
always a,
cookies. Usually, Courtney's cookies Courtney's go cookies. Hard in the paint.
I got to tell normally I get here.
I had a second one.
On Wednesday,
I got one right now.
Oh, don't tell people that over the air because everybody in the station is going to get real upset.
That's a good way to get shanked.
It is a good way to get shanked back there. Normally, I get here around 4:45 to 5 on Wednesdays because I do my karaoke hour with Jason. Mm-hmm. And the weeks that there is a cookie left over, man, it's like I got a bonus.
I got one.
I thought you were going to say something else, but I'm very happy for you, bud. Put the blue chew away. No. Can you tease what you're singing today, by the way, maybe?
I don't know what I'm singing yet.
I think genre, if you will.
I don't even know yet.
I think they need to sing Hook by Blues Traveler, but he will not do it.
I kind of like that.
He won't do it.
It's so hard. It's so, like, the lyrics are ridiculous.
We'll give you like a week to prepare. Yes. But I want you to prepare. And come in with like a game plan. I don't want you to do it today, but eventually.
Act like I don't come in with a game plan every single day that I come
in. I know you do. I know you do, but I'm talking about specifically for Hook. I'm not going to say, hey, do Hook, and then 3 hours later, you're doing Hook.
Yeah.
I feel like
I'm planting it in your head.
I'm saying, I want you to practice it and then come in summertime even. I mean, you have months now to get that done.
I practiced for a month the lyrics from Clint Eastwood. And Gorillaz, and I think I can almost
happy.
Do it. Yeah, it took me a while. Feeling Deltron, a man can go.
But yeah, no, thanks to Jason and his team for bringing by Witchwick to the ESPN Louisville studios. There are two great locations, one at Old Brownsboro Crossing or at 221 South Hurstburn Parkway. It is perfect for lunch or dinner. Get a tray of witches for the big game, and you can try the ESPN special One Large Witch for just $6.80. Order today at witchwitch.com or download the app Witch Superior Sandwiches. They are very good. I had one, and the cookies are phenomenal. The chips are great, and they're good people over there, so go and visit them.
As soon as my digestive system gets back to functioning, I will definitely partake as well. What sandwiches did you get? What flavors?
I got the club.
Club's a good one. Club's a good one.
I had the grinder,
right?
The grinder. Oh, that got all the Italian
stuff. Got all the Italian meats there.
Oh, beautiful.
Looks like there was salami, maybe a little gabagool. A little gabagool. That's right.
We ate all the gabagool.
That's what happened. How about a nice gabagool?
They'll bring stuff from home like Nick Valvano. Eat witches.
Well, they have so many different like combinations. I forgot what the number is. It's in one of the advertisements, but it's like 350. Like legit. Yeah. And they have the little peanut butter and jelly sandwiches you can buy for like $2 by the register. And the cool thing is, first off, it's PB&J. You can just grab it. And oftentimes when I go there, I'll eat that as an appetizer as I wait for my sandwich and then get one for the road. But they also, like, for everyone that you buy, they'll, like, donate one to, like, a homeless shelter or something like that. I mean, saving the world. One PB&J.
Witch is doing everything for you, man.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why not to go eat at Witch.
You need to go to
the... What's the matter with you? Yeah. Get a sandwich, save the world.
Hey, though.
My version of Italian accent will not play well.
No, Nick and I can back and forth.
I'm not going to play that game.
Hey, no, we need an Anglo. Everyone likes an Anglo. A little sprinkle.
I feel left out
because
I can't do an Italian accent.
The ironic part about all this is that I am like as Irish, German, Northern,
you got range,
European.
Though. You got that. But you're from New York, so you have
I lived in New York for 5 years.
Yeah, that's enough to pick up an accent.
From Kentucky.
I never lived in New York, but just listening to my parents occasionally yell at each other over, toilet seats.
I lived in West Point next to, we had plenty of townies. You know, they went to high school with my sister. Yeah.
There you go. See?
No, but the game tonight, I think a critical one for Louisville. Certainly, the fourth seed in the ACC tournament, I think, is locked up by Florida State. I think that they're playing well enough now, and their future schedule sort of, if you're projecting out, it looks like Florida State probably going to get that four seed. So this game, against Syracuse tonight might be for the 5 seed. And I've said for a long time that's what I want to see. I want to see Louisville as the 5. The 4 seed has historically done very poorly in the ACC tournament. Obviously, you get the double bye. But
yeah, I want to get that game in, though. I know that it seems silly, but I do. I like the 5 seed. I want to get that game.
It felt good last year to get a game in, beat Florida State, and yeah. then kind of feel like you had a little mo because you played well in that game. Louisville played well in that game against Florida State.
Yeah, we did.
And then, you know,
just ask Leonard Hamilton.
And then we even had a run on Virginia, like in the second half, and then they pulled away late and kind of really just buried Louisville in the end.
Oh, he sure did.
Jordan Wara had a chance there. He grabbed a rebound, and I think we had a chance to tie the ball. It was out of bounds, and it was just curtains from there. So,
Florida State's future schedule is at UNC versus Notre Dame versus NC State versus Virginia Tech, and then at Wake.
They should handle that other than the Carolina game. I mean, you know,
not exactly murderer's row.
Though. Not exactly murderer's row, but NC State and Virginia Tech are possible losses.
Possible, but you see the Carolina as a probable loss for Florida State. But Louisville, for example, has Virginia twice.
Yeah, which are both you would expect losses. Even, right. You know.
So for me.
And Syracuse is more of a toss-up to most people's perception.
Yeah, and so Syracuse, if you beat them, you've at least got a tiebreaker against them in a head-to-head matchup. So if you end up with the same record, which could happen here, then you could find yourself as the 5 seed in the ACC tournament. So tonight, it really is – it's a huge game because now you're the 5 seed perhaps in the ACC tournament instead. What's wrong?
It's raining.
Oh, yeah.
I got this giant delivery truck in front of the window.
There's a new restaurant moving in, a couple of stores.
Yeah, it's like a pizza joint.
Storefronts down, yeah. And this is a chef – Supply delivering all their accoutrements.
I looked in, but I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. I looked in the back of the truck. There's nothing there. So either someone has made off with their toasters or whatever they're dropping off, or they've already delivered it. So why the hell is the truck still here? Because I need to look across the street to see if I'm getting a parking ticket.
But you can't.
Just a restaurant full of toasters.
We could make it.
Is there
we could make
it's
it.
It's a Pop-Tart restaurant. Just a bunch of toasters.
Oh, my God. Biscuit. Butter your biscuits.
I got ideas.
Ooh. I like butter your biscuits as a restaurant
for you.
You
ever had butter on a Pop-Tart?
It's so freaking good.
Oh, man.
We have anything on the text line, Nikki?
Oh, yeah. We got a lot coming down here. All right.
I like this real quick. I like Mark's face when Nikki and I have like an aside, and Mark's just like, ha-ha, I too know what's going on.
Yeah. I'm like, I thought I was talking about basketball here. We're talking about basketball, and then it's like, okay,
yeah, this
back to
tonight,
not basketball.
Tonight is absolutely 100% a pivotal moment, not just for the ACC tournament seed line, but for the NCAA tournament seed line. If we win tonight, if Louisville wins tonight, you think, like, it's obvious nothing's for sure, but BC and Notre Dame probably going to win those games.
Probably.
You would expect. If we don't win those games, we have larger issues as far as the seed line goes. We go 3-2 down the stretch and lose both Virginia games. Then we're probably solidly on the 5 line, probably. If we take one of the Virginia games, if we manage to do that, we could be looking at 4-1 down the stretch, and other possibilities are open depending on what we do on that first or second day of the ACC tournament. But none of that is possible if we don't win tonight.
Right. Like the 4 seed remains possible.
It's a possibility. Like the 5, I'd say 5 or 6 are our most likely seed lines right now. But winning this game tonight can lead to better things.
All right, so agree. 4 is still the ceiling, right?
I'd say 7's probably the floor.
7's the floor, okay. Cool.
And that's if everything
the ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling remains the roof, Nikki.
Oh, man, I have that drop somewhere, but all right, the moment's going to be gone. All right, by the time I find it, I'll play it as we go to break. UPS jobs text line 437-9680. This one coming in as soon as my phone will load. I randomly got a Lyft notification. The way my day's going so far, I probably ordered one. Dude, it's Florida State. It's Len Hamilton. Louisville finishes with 1 loss down the stretch. They're getting the double bye. Hardly able to, quote, project it.
I don't know. I mean, Florida State, they were bad in the middle of January, and then they've recovered since that time.
Look, I expect... That's the reason why I said the NC State and Virginia Tech games are definitely in play. All right, they are. They're in play because they're similar talent-wise. And Florida State's not consistent enough for me to just give them those wins.
What are the
but
Noles,
they're playing
22nd?
Far, Virginia Tech's 20th, and the Noles are 16th right now.
Oh, okay. Noles pulled up that
line. But they've been playing on Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
too, so.
they've been playing a lot better lately, though. You know,
yeah, they
much
have.
They've been evening out, getting a little more consistent. But I'm not giving them both those wins.
No, but the thing is like. Like the texter said that Louisville's going to finish with one loss down the stretch.
That's assuming we beat Virginia, which we haven't done but once.
One time ever.
So which one is more likely, Florida State going 4-1 down the stretch or us going 4-1 down the stretch? And I think if we're being fair and objective, it's more likely that Florida State goes 4-1 down the stretch.
Right.
I think that's a fair analysis.
Who hit that shot? That helped
Mango. Mango, 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 mango,
mango. Oh my God!
How'd
I missed
you
that
find
drop.
That?
Find it. That's probably Nikki's first
I
drop.
Know, but
it's number one in the.
How did you originally find
you
it? Is
always,
what I want to know.
You
like, where did it
remember
come
your
from?
First?
It
was
first.
And the kid Jason's favorite drop. The little kid screaming
is
number two.
The Woodrow Wilson cheerleaders. Absolutely, kind of love that. Let's stop by the studio.
I'm waiting for Jason to run around, just look around the corner, like,
just hit me with one of those toasters from Chef Supply outside, giving you guys a shout. I'm sure Chef Supply, you guys do a great job.
7,000.
I'm just
toasters.
Mad at the parking ticket. I most assuredly have that I parked outside close to the studio because the bowels weren't exactly.
Jeez,
I was not making that walk.
You're like wearing that word out today.
I think that's actually a relatively adult term to describe it. I'm not saying I have the Hershey squirts or anything immature like that. But no, okay. No, another text coming down here. No, okay. Wait. The story of Mango.
Yeah.
I'm working a post game show with Mark Ennis. It's really, really late. We're both kind of tired, and Mango was like the player of the game, and we were having some fun with that. And I tried to find a funny Mango drop.
Right.
And I typed in Mango, and then it was like the Mango song, and I played it, and it's a really weird like internet song, or it was on like a kid's show or something like that. It has like a cult following, and it's just like a mango running around an island, and then a pirate saying like someone's after his booty, and then it goes back to the dancing mango. But I played it, scared the crap out of Mark, and then I was like, well, we need to keep this drop. So then anytime Mango did something, and I was on the post game, we played that thing. So
did you see Ray Spalding got signed by the Suns the other day?
I did.
And then the Suns fans, how they reacted to it.
Yeah.
They're like, that's great. He makes basketballs. Right. Like, they're like, put up Spalding everywhere. I was like,
but it also made me like look in the mirror and go, we never made, like, I don't think one
we never
Spalding
did.
Pun or joke.
Like, where
were years he was here?
Yeah,
where
yeah,
was he
really? Yeah, really.
I guess just because he was always in our life because he was, you know, he went to Trinity.
Right.
He was from here. So he was always ever present. So it wasn't some novelty.
No, we
you
missed
know what
the
I
boat.
Mean? Like,
yeah, really.
There was no novelty. Novelty to it for us, though. Like, he was always just there, so we didn't make a bunch of puns.
Oh my God, the puns and jokes. Yeah, we just missed that.
That really was the entire Suns Twitter presence.
It really was
just making jokes and puns about Ray Spalding's name. And you know what? I'm here for it.
Me too. 100%.
Big fan of that. More text coming down the UPS Jobs text line. Oh, someone's saying that was from VeggieTales. I'm pretty sure it wasn't from VeggieTales. I was a pretty diehard VeggieTales fan. Nah, not really, but I dabbled in it. They had really good fruit snacks.
I dabbled in VeggieTales.
Dabbled in VeggieTales.
In my 20s.
Same texter talking about Florida State saying Justin Robinson may be back for that Va-Tech game.
That could change things.
Also fair.
That could change things.
Four-year
of course.
He takes them from like a borderline top 30 team to a
top 15
type team.
Yep, right. I agree with that.
Florida State... I mean, I know that they've one of you guys actually brought this up, I think, one of the respective shows. I believe it was, seriously, I think it was one of you two guys that said this. That
yeah, probably.
They always have an athletic team.
They do.
If you go back to the whole, like, Jonathan Isaacs and, like, well, I mean, that was, like, last year, Dwayne Bacon game. But don't they?
Athleticism and size.
Right. But, yeah. And this is, I don't think you guys said this, but I'm asking you guys, don't, like, I mean, certain teams have MOs, like, isn't their MO kind of to falter down the
it
stretch
is.
A little bit?
Yep.
I mean,
but not last year though,
right?
Like
yeah,
last year in the NCAA tournament, they went far, but obviously Louisville put them out in the second round of the ACC tournament, which is both of our first games. But they Yeah, they weren't very good in at the end of the regular season, but they were good finally in the tournament for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. No, like in the regular season, they falter a little bit. Yes. And then they get it. They're not elite, but they kind of get it back on the rails for the postseason. But
yeah, here and there.
Yeah, all right.
As well as anybody does, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Another one coming down. I've always said that you and Jason need to sing the following. Any Usher song? I'll Make Love to You by Blackstreet. That's a good one.
I'll Make Love to You is not by Blackstreet. It's
by the Backstreet Boys.
It's by Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Yeah, it is. But what about? But speaking about Blackstreet, you should do a No Diggity. I think that would be good.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Baby, all through the night.
I think that was just. I think that's that one's just for you. What's your number? 29 something. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm done.
This is dedicated to you. I think now that we know that one's coming down the pike eventually. The Spice Girls. Oh, The Darkness. I believe in a thing called love. Yeah.
Yeah, I just got to make sure my voice is limber that day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to do your little...
Can't be cold or flu season.
The Razzle. Were you ever in like a singing class and they do that like raspberry warm up, the little... that thing? Like, seriously. I was in chorus in middle school.
We were all in chorus, like... Literally, we had small at West Point Elementary. We had tiny, like it was like 60 people to a grade, so everybody sang.
Okay,
you know, everybody sang in the chorus. Then there was like a select chorus, but I don't think I ever made that.
The kids had our kids had a Christmas program, and all the kids were, you know, like sing a Christmas song. They get one Christmas song per grade or whatever. And this one kid, I totally respected him. He just came out there. He didn't do any of the hand motions. He didn't sing a song. He just stood there and was like, I hate my life. And then when the song was over, he just walked out.
Wow. How old was he?
Kindergarten, first grade.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of
like all the other kids are like loving it. They're like doing the hand motions. Half of them are getting the hand motions or the lyrics wrong. And he just stood there and was like, nope.
You get
I'm
me
not
singing,
your performing monkey.
It.
I'm not going to do it.
That's basically what he said.
It was him throwing his shoe at the crowd. Are you not entertained?
Like, I was supposed to be there watching Ren and Willow, but I was really just watching this kid. It's like, I like
you're
it.
Taking the video, and it's like, you just focus in on the one kid.
Ashley's like,
Ashley's so upset.
I thought you were supposed to get the kids. Like, what's your
problem? I don't know if everybody does it, but I remember from like fourth, fifth grade doing. We did like Halloween concerts. Like we did concerts all the time.
Like all kinds of concerts.
I remember doing the Addams Family theme and snapping our fingers when I was like 10 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Snap Maybe we were just going right hand.
Over above and beyond.
Gotcha. Wow, that's a lot of shows for a kindergartner. A couple more.
Well, this one was like in fourth or fifth grade.
Oh, okay. Still, that's a lot. We had two.
It's a big commitment.
Chorus concerts in middle school. Just two.
Too.
Fall and spring, baby.
Attaboy.
Some more requests. Spice Girls, The Darkness, or Divinius, I Touch Myself.
Yeah.
They want that one. I really hope that's not.
You go ahead.
I don't get it.
All right, let's get to Fred. Fred here at 267. Maybe not. There you go. 267-9680 is the number if you want to get in. Fred, welcome in. And if you have a song to sing, Nikki will play a music bed behind it.
No, I have no song to sing, and sometimes I think I've listened to the Addams Family when I listen to you guys.
There we go.
Fair enough.
Not really. I'm just trying to be funny. That wasn't really very funny. Is this Patty Ice's show?
No, it's a Nick Valvano, Mark Blankenbaker, and Dave Skull.
Nick Valvano, Dave Skull, and who else?
Mark Blankenbaker.
This Blankenbaker guy, he knows something about U of L, doesn't he?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And okay. Biggest Biscuit.
Let me ask you this. You mean to tell me if Louisville gets the double bye, which is really up in the air, probably won't get it, you guys don't think that Louisville can't win a first-round game in the ACC tournament?
Well, they certainly could, Fred, but, you know, historically speaking – since Louisville joined the league in the five ACC tournaments that have happened, the four seeds only won two games ever. They've only advanced to the semifinals in twice. Five seeds done better. They've advanced to the semifinals four times, to the final game twice, and won it once. The four seed hasn't done that. For whatever reason, the four seed does not perform as well in the ACC tournament as the 5 seed has.
I would much rather get the 5 seed or even the 6 seed. You get a game under your belt, you get in there. Now, Louisville getting to the final game is probably stretching it a little bit, but, hey, they beat Carolina. They beat, you know, had Duke beat. Yeah, I know they let it slip away, but I think, you know, if they get it back on the rails here, they could be a factor. Now, are they going to win the ACC tournament? Probably not. Are they going to win the? Are they going to go to the Final Four? Probably not. My prediction is if they get to the second week of the tournament and are competitive in doing so, and beat maybe, you know, pretty, you know, that second round game won't be easy.
No.
Matter of fact, depending on what kind of seed they get, if they get a 5 or 6, that first round game is not going to be real easy either.
No, I mean, the ACC tournament is going to be, I mean, even the first game, like you just said, is going to be a doozy. I'm with you though. Like, I want to get my feet under me. I want to play maybe somebody that's not as strong as it's going to be one of those, you know, double bye teams, and have some momentum, be more familiar with my hotel, more familiar with the facility, and just try to sort of do what some of these other 5 seeds have done historically, you know, in the ACC tournament. And that's kind of where I am with that.
Now, am I correct in assuming that the games in the ACC tournament are in Greensboro this year?
Charlotte.
They're in Charlotte.
Carolina, yeah.
Well, that'll be a Carolina Duke. Definitely advantage to them in that particular arena. Let me ask you, gentlemen, do any of you three or four there, how many ever there are, think that Duke can win the overall tournament, the NCAA tournament? Can Virginia win the overall tournament?
I think the answer to both, I think they could, but they're going to need Duke to lose. And I don't think that.
All right, let me add something else. Before you get too far into this, I'm looking at Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, however you want to call it, Michigan, and then maybe throw a couple others in there.
I think Carolina's even one of those. And Fred, I appreciate that. It's one of those things where I think Duke can. I think Duke will. I think Virginia is going to need help on Duke.
If Duke's on, they're on their own line.
They are.
No one can beat Duke.
They're in their own tier.
Well,
if Duke is on,
Pops, people can beat Duke. I don't think Virginia can.
That's the thing. What Pops called that game, he said, "Look, like you guys said, no one's beating Duke if they shoot 70% from the field or whatever they did."
That's what I'm saying. Like, the second one's not a fair representation of Virginia versus Duke, really, because Duke was out of their mind.
Right. Now, if Duke isn't maybe not shooting at that level where they're untouchable, but on their game, he said the only team that could beat them is UVA when they're playing at an elite level.
I think Michigan can beat them.
Really?
They play great defense.
UVA.
I'm still a fan of Michigan for sure.
They're more physical defensively than Virginia is. Virginia's more about mechanics, and then Michigan's more about just being athletes. And John Beilein's never had this before. And it's a new thing, but it's really working.
Well, can I pose a question to you that Locke dealt with yesterday? And I think it's a good question.
It
plays to Fred's call, which was a good call, by the way. If you're taking, how many teams would it take for you to like take the bet of these teams versus the field at even money?
How do you mean?
Well, I think it was Pat Forty took like Duke, Gonzaga, it wasn't UVA, because that's who Crawford took.
Michigan was
in the mix.
I think you could go Kentucky in there.
It was Duke, Kentucky, Gonzaga, and Michigan. And I think Crawford had the same group, except that instead of Gonzaga, he took UVA. So if you had to pick 4 teams versus the field at an even money bet, what are your 4 teams right now?
Yeah, I would take Duke.
I think it's also, this could change a little bit given the Reed Travis injury.
But I
have a feeling that Reed Travis will be back by tournament time. I mean, as long as it doesn't throw them off too much down the stretch, Kentucky's still one of my 4 teams.
It would be Duke,
Kentucky, Michigan, and that 4th spot is kind of open, because as much as I think Gonzaga is one of the 4 or 5 best teams in the country, I don't know if I buy into them as able to win the national championship. Like, I'll probably take Gonzaga as my fourth team there, only because there's reasons why I don't like Virginia. There's reasons why I don't like Tennessee.
Gonzaga is just because you haven't seen maybe enough of them.
I've seen them. I haven't seen them lately.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Like, well, like they're not a top 20. They're not a top 20 adjusted offense and defense.
They only played three really good teams this year, and they lost to two of them. Like, I'm not saying that Gonzaga isn't one of the best, and Sweeney has this argument constantly, and I tend to agree with him 100% on this topic, that nobody's saying that Gonzaga isn't one of the three or four best teams in the country. Nobody's saying that. But if we're going to be honest about resume, and if it's going to be resume that gives you the one seed, the two seed, their resume doesn't dictate that they're a one seed. You can't take it on faith and just go with the eye test when they played three elite teams and they lost to two of them.
Right. No. So for me,
you know what I mean.
That's fair.
So for me, I'm going to start.
They're eating off that Duke win.
I'm going to do Duke, Virginia, and Gonzaga, and then I'm going to debate internally about Kentucky, whether or not Reed Travis is available, and then Carolina. And then I'm also gonna look around, and I'm gonna look for those top 20 adjusted offensive and defensive teams, and try to find one that I think might be able to work. And to be honest with you,
give me Louisville versus the field. All right,
even Louisville versus the world.
There's not a lot of them. Like, Louisville is like one of the only other ones out there. I would not choose Louisville to win the national championship in that group. So
you're not a real fan, clearly.
I mean,
fair weather.
I'm the guy that's always written down in every single like paid bracket. Louisville, because I'm like, if they win it, I'm going to be super happy.
Whatever.
And I'm going to take all the money.
Baker, go root for the Tops.
Get out of here. I was just joking, Mark. Jeez.
No, but seriously, what would
I don't? But I would probably just need three teams, to be honest with you.
Are there any teams that like Texas Tech or Nevada, who's like five, or a Buffalo? Are there any like kind of dark horse ones?
I see them as maybe dark horse Final Four teams if they get the right draw. But I don't see them as.
But you got to win
down the next.
Yeah, six games. Like a lot of teams that I can potentially see winning four games, even under the correct draw. You never know. Maybe Louisville wins four games, but I would never pick them as one of the like.
Right, but I mean
top
right.
10 teams to win the national title.
What do we always say that you have to be top 20 in Ken Pomp's adjusted offense and defense?
Yeah, that's been a rule. There's been a few exceptions lately, but yes.
20, I don't know of the
top 20
though.
In offensive and defensive efficiency. I think UConn, one of the UConn years.
Because they
exception.
Got hot. They got hot.
The 2014 UConn team, I think, was an exception. I think one of the Villanova teams was outside the top 20 in defense. I think.
Because they're crazy offense.
Yeah.
Well, like Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga does not meet that. But Duke and Virginia do. Michigan State actually does.
Yeah.
Kentucky does. And then you got
North Carolina
that
meets that.
And Louisville. And that's it. That's all you've got. So if
Louisville's on the edge. We're 15th in defense and 20th in offense.
Right now,
Greg.
Louisville is 16th in defense and 20th in offense, which is amazing that Louisville is 16th in adjusted defense, because they were like 81st.
Right.
We've
made tremendous strides in the last couple months, but our offense is trending in the wrong direction
right.
at this point, per the numbers.
Gotcha.
But his call, I mean, he pretty much agreed with everything we said, which was we prefer a 5 or 6 seed in the ACC tournament.
I also just want to get
one
extra
win.
Game.
Like, get that one win under your belt, and moving in to the second or to the second game, to the quarterfinals. You know, with a little bit of momentum.
I think if you're the 3 seed, clearly you're in a much like I like that position better. But if I'm the 4, I'm not loving it. Like,
no, because you're lined up to play the next best team
right.
in the ACC.
Plus, right now, like if it is Florida State as the 4. And you got Louisville as the 5. If Louisville advances, they would then play into Florida State. I like my chances against FSU. I do.
So do I.
You know,
we were the better team on that court.
We were the better team until the end.
We lost our mind.
Give me that. And now you're a semifinal team. You know, so if you start thinking about the ACC tournament in that way, you know, you don't know what your quarterfinal game, you don't know what your second round game might be. Oh, all right. Let's get Fred back in here real quick. Sorry, Fred. What's going on, buddy?
That's okay. What do you guys think about Kansas in the Big 12? Sounds like Kansas State's going to win the Big 12, and they are good enough defensively. I mean, obviously, last year when they beat Kentucky, they may not be able to score enough, but I could see them getting to the Elite Eight pretty easy.
Yeah, you know, I think it is about the draw, Fred. And you know, you don't, you never exactly know. The RPI loves Kansas. Like, if we were still using the RPI and not the net, then it would be an entirely other discussion. Like, they might be even like a one seed in Joe Lenardi's bracketology right now, but they're not.
The net has its own idiosyncrasies and its own problems that we haven't quite figured out yet. You know, there's been some analysis with teams jumping and falling for after really weird weeks. But we knew that the RPI was flawed beyond belief, and
for a while
this is the biggest indictment, I think, to this point.
Kansas does win, are there a bunch of like RPI loyalist resistance guys like in a bunker?
Maybe.
See?
Like, but you know what? I think part of the reason why even like KenPom loves our Kansas and has them at 15th, they have the number one schedule in the country, according to KenPom. So,
but I wasn't a huge fan of – I wasn't the biggest believer in Kansas before they lost LeGerald Vick.
Yeah, yeah, but even now, and we don't even know when he's coming back, and it's all personal reasons, right?
Yeah, they said they're
not releasing why.
Nothing but rumors at this point, but he's a huge loss for them. Obviously, he's probably the best player on their team.
You know, Maryland is an interesting team to me in the tournament. I think if you really,
God, he was a shooter.
Like, look at what the resume is. I think Maryland is interesting. I think Wisconsin is a dark horse, a kind of a sneaky good team. Texas Tech, he mentioned.
Tech killed me last year.
They play good defense, though, man.
They killed me, though. I just – until they do it in the tournament, I have a hard time buying into the – you know, like, Chris Beard's a great coach, and he's doing great things down in Lubbock. But until they do it in the tournament, a young coach like that, I have a hard time hitching my wagon to him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I feel better about them than I would –
it'll happen at some point.
Than I would feeling about hitching my wagon to a Nevada or a Houston.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I know I know those are lesser conference teams, and that's the Big 12. But like, I would feel better about saying I am going to say Texas Tech is going to be an Elite 8 team. Oh, better than I would if I was going to say Nevada or Houston would be.
See, I do hope this is the year that they break the Kansas streak of conference titles, because frankly, I'm just tired of hearing about it. Like, I think that it's always been a bigger it's a great accomplishment, but it's always been a bigger indictment on the Big 12 for me than it's been like a huge accomplishment for Kansas after 14 years. Like, at that point, I think it's as much of a statement or a bigger indictment on the conference than it is an actual accomplishment.
Right. But Louisville, like, if they are going to sort of do what we want them to do, in, you know, in the ACC tournament, in the NCAA tournament, all, you know, I think this is one of those pivotal games. You know, and this is a game that you should win. It is on the road. We understand that road wins are a little bit harder to come by than they are if they're at home.
Not if you ask Locke.
I know. I get it. But
that is one hill that he is dying on, man.
I know he is, but the
Carrier Dome. You know, every game at Tennessee, they had a chance to win. I mean, they really did. And they shoot the ball well, you know. And so this is, for us, this is a big-time win. It's a road win. In this league, you win on the road in this league, you got something done.
That's a spoiler alert, little radio tease. That's going to be my SportsCenter clip in the upcoming SportsCenter.
Oh, okay.
I believe Magic actually just cut the exact same one. We do that here.
Good.
The producers, we constantly
cutting
cut
their
the
own stuff.
Yeah, but I guess that means we all have the same impeccable taste.
Right. Well, no, but you know, John Calipari. That's John Calipari talking about
mind.
Winning on the road in the SEC. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the SEC is not the animal that the ACC
a lot of empty
is.
Gyms.
It matters, you know, more there. It just matters more.
I'm not sure if it does, but you know,
I think it matters more.
No, it doesn't. No, but it doesn't. The Carrier Dome is also a weird place to play. It is a dome, and you know, how often do players play in a dome? You know, I mean, you do in the Final Four now. You do some in some regionals, but
mess with your shooting, man.
It
might.
That's
what they say.
Like, legitimately, like, you never know how Kristen Cunningham played at Samford is going to react to his first dome game, or how Quan Four might, or you know, or whatever. And also, underrated deal about this game is that Jordan Wara is from Buffalo.
He is from Buffalo.
Spoke yesterday.
Said his mom's going to be – his mom's from Syracuse. His family's going to be there.
And they didn't recruit him. Maybe a little chip on the old shoulder there.
He kind of – like, yesterday when we sat down with him, he kind of, you know, alluded to that. Like, yeah, I was a huge Syracuse fan growing up, had all the Syracuse gear. I thought they would recruit me more, and they didn't. So then I became a huge
Were you
going to
bring that up, Biscuit? I kind of derailed you.
No, you're fine.
Oh, you gave me a gesture. This is why we need video.
And I don't think I gave you a gesture.
And you gave me that, forget about it. Like you, was like,
do you have Coach Mack talking about the Athletic article yesterday and his response? If it bothered him, or if he was going to use it as motivation, that's what I want to hear, because he was hot. Like I was at the table yesterday, and that came up. He brought it up actually on his own, the Athletic article, and he was not happy about that.
But love to know when it was written, it talked about us not playing the toughest part of our schedule. I don't know how many games we have left before we hit the tough part of our schedule. I know Virginia's really good, so maybe you have to play Virginia once before you've considered being a tough part of your schedule.
Do you use that as motivation for your
play? Hell yes, I use that.
Yeah, we need to cut just hell yes out. Hell yes. And then we can use that as affirmatives from now on. Because
I mixed that into a song yesterday as a rejoin, but I don't think I saved the song. So I can make it again during the break. Because
why didn't you save it?
I'm talented AF, but, you know.
Well, not if you don't save it.
That is great.
I just like to challenge myself.
You like to make it again?
You just like to do the same thing over and over again.
Hey, yeah, listen to this.
Is that insanity?
I made.
That might be insanity.
Because if you expect the same results.
I mean, if you just save your work, it's not really insanity at all.
I need floppy disks. I haven't been good at saving my work.
Try to stick a floppy disk in that computer, see what happens.
What if we just get a Marconi? And just stick it in there. They're like, it's about time.
Do a USB drive. You'd be okay.
1250 or 250. Coop.
What do you think are the keys to this game, Biscuit?
Shooting. Obviously, rebounding.
Ball movement for me.
Ball movement is a huge one, which is always the key to breaking that press. Is ball movement, not press? Sorry, the 2-3 zone.
2-3 zone.
Ball movement and hitting our shots from not only the 3-point line, from the whoever we decide to put at the free throw from the 3-point line, whoever we decide to put at the free throw line.
Hell yes.
to be the point to kind of break that. That 2-3.
With Patino, we always had great success sort of getting the ball to the foul line and then finding penetration and then a guy on the baseline. If you remember,
yeah, you play a little bit of that high-low. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. What unlocks that usually is hitting a few of those free throw line jumpers so that post defender sags towards you. You know, sags towards you, and all of a sudden you can play a little high-low game with a guy on the baseline. And if he's not open, if they bust down on him, then the wing's open. Like, it's just, that's what it is. It's a quick whip.
But that high-low is really how the 2013 Big East Championship was able to come back, because Montrez was open, and he was able to get things. He was more athletic to catch and close
Gorgie down
on the
to Montrez.
Yes, and it was over and over and
so
over
it doesn't
again.
Always have to be the same type of player. Like, we tried to use CC against Duke, which I think would have been successful if we kind of finished the thought. Before, we've used Kyle Kirk in the past, we used Gorgie in the past. It doesn't have to be a point guard, doesn't have to be a shooting guard, doesn't have to be a wing, doesn't have to be a center. It could be anybody.
It has to be a decision maker.
To break that, exactly. It has to be a decision maker and a good passer.
Yes.
Hell yes.
Hell yes, it does. So, I like our chances tonight. This is a game where I feel like
I do too. I think it's
could
be a fight,
we
though.
Lose? Yes, I think we should win. I expect us to win in this game. As the Louisville Cardinals. So I'm hoping that occurs. And if they do, and they do it convincingly, we can stop talking about all these collapses and late game situations. And I also think that you're coming out of a game against Clemson that was extremely frustrating. That's their style. Is to frustrate you, and no. If you go and look at Clemson's season, nobody really blows them out. They've lost a ton of 1-point games. I think they've lost 3 this year. So they do that to teams. This is who their personality is. Syracuse is another a team that tries to frustrate you. So you've got to come out, and you've got to have that mindset that you're going to grind out a victory. Or you're gonna play your way into a frustrating loss. So their mentality coming off these 3 really tough games and outcomes, I think, is gonna really be pivotal in seeing if they can win this game. So I'm hoping they do. Tyus Battle is the player to watch for Syracuse. Super athletic. I actually looked him up on mock drafts. He's not listed. I can't believe that. Like, he's like a guy where I'm like, he could be in the, like, why is he not in the NBA? Like, a Dinga Dell can start an NBA game. Why can't Tyus Battle? Right?
Well, Dinga Dell also didn't get drafted, to your point.
True, true. But I guess maybe the problem is there's so many players like him, yeah. right, in the NBA.
And the
like,
fact that he's
special.
He's a slasher. He can score, but he's a bit of a volume shooter, and he only shoots about 30% from the three-point line, which is tough in today's NBA, not
true.
To be able to hit the outside shot as a shooting guard. It's really a requirement.
Like, okay, Lonnie Walker got drafted by the Spurs. Last year we played Miami. The way he played against Louisville and the way Lonnie Walker played against Louisville last year, I thought was really similar. The way,
yeah.
you know, so like
but Lonnie Walker is a freshman yeah. with a ton of upside and a ton of athletic ability. The ability to create space, kind of an athlete, sort of a Donovan Mitchell type athlete, not nearly as polished.
How is Lonnie doing now?
He's What's been he hurt to? Most of the year. I
okay.
mean, he's only spent he got hurt preseason. He was with their G League team. The Austin Toros, I think they've changed the name to the Spurs now, for a while, and he's only been up with the A club a few times.
Yeah,
so it's been a slow road for Lonnie.
Good player, but I swore off the VeggieTales after that game.
But I was very high on him, and I was very happy the Spurs drafted him, and I hope that he's a big factor next year. Speaking of that, you mentioned David Robinson earlier.
I did.
Did you know that the other day was the 25th anniversary of his quadruple double?
I did not know that.
Yeah, only the fourth in NBA history, and we haven't had one since.
Seriously? There's been no quadruple double. What was his – so he had points, rebounds, blocks, and steals or assists?
Assists.
He did with assists.
It was 34, 10, 10, 10.
Jeez. What were the other
my
three?
My favorite player of all time. I don't remember who the other okay. three were. You know what? I can look it up in the next minute.
Well, that's all we've got.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's incredible. I don't know, even though you're a big Army fan, you really have a lot of appreciation for Navy's David Robinson.
He's my favorite player. Him and Tim yeah. Duncan are my two favorite players of all time. So.
Pretty incredible. So, yeah, man, hopefully Louisville wins tonight. We will have Louisville basketball is going to look for a road win Wednesday tonight when the Cards visit Syracuse. And for the most pre- and post-game coverage analysis, keep it locked on ESPN Louisville. Pre-game coverage with Marcus Maben and Stephen Rubbage begins at 6 p.m. on all ESPN Louisville stations, and then directly following the Cards in Orange, it is the Coors Light postgame show with me, Mark Blankenbaker, on 93.9 The Ville.
Hey, that's you.
We'll be the first place that will take your calls here live from Chris Mack as well as Player Sound. If it's Louisville basketball, we'll talk about it first on ESPN Louisville. On ESPN 680 tonight, we will have the Duke-North Carolina game beginning at 8:45 on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You ready for this?
So, yes. So, give it to me.
All right. So, Nate Thurman. In October of 1974, had 22 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists, and 12 blocks.
Okay.
Alvin Robertson in 1986 had 20 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, and 10 steals.
Jeez, steals.
Yeah, steals. And then Hakeem Olajuwon did it twice. So he was
nice.
It was the fifth
so
quadruple double by only four players.
And the Dream did
and
it
his,
twice.
Both of his were points, rebounds, assists, and blocks.
Unbelievable. So
I've got playout music for you.
And
Jason Anderson has the zone on the other side. Finish that thought, Biscuit.
Yep.
Just for the record, like Admiral Schofield, fine player, but he's not the Admiral at all. Bothers
no.
me every
well,
time
he
I
is
hear it. There's only one the Admiral.
Right.
All right.
No, totally agree.
He's Admiral. He's not the Admiral.
Right.